You're listening to The Back 40, the podcast for Ontario farmers, covering topics and issues that matter most to Ontario agriculture. Brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm the host of The Back 40, Mike Brine, agribusiness specialist at Trillium Mutual Insurance. Many of us have a rather romantic view of the prairies these days. It's a lot of wheat fields, a lot of canola fields, the breeze blowing them, beautiful color and beautiful area to be in. But it wasn't that long ago that much of that was all grasslands. Man's presence, is particularly the settlers that came in, changed all of that. Settlers hunted the bison almost to the point of extinction and then broke up a lot of the land for farming. Today, much of that grassland is gone, and what's left is one of the world's most endangered ecosystems. The short film Guardians of the Grasslands is a documentary produced by Canadian filmmakers, dedicated conservationists, and Canadian ranchers. Amy Peck, who we're talking to today, is one of the producers of this film. She is the public and stakeholder engagement manager with Canadian Cattlemen's Association. Amy, welcome to The Back 40.
Thanks so much for having me, Mike.
That's an interesting group of people that I just listed off there. How did you get all of those stakeholders involved to make this film?
What I'll say is that originally we didn't set out to film specifically a short documentary about the grasslands. What actually happened is we were at the Waldron Ranch Grazing Cooperative, which is in southern Alberta. It's 65,000 acres in size, and surrounding ranchers have shares that they can bring their cattle in to graze on there. And we went to go make an informational video about the Waldron because it dissects Highway 22, which is Cowboy Trail in Alberta, on either side. But there was really no signage to tell you what you were seeing with these beautiful grasslands on either side. So we got together and said, let's film an informational video. Through that came Guardians of the Grasslands. And we were so lucky to have all the stakeholders there that day, ready to participate in interviews. And I would say it might be surprising that there was ranchers and conservationists there together, but it's relationships that have existed for a long time, and they're based on shared value. You know, really love of the land, protection of the wildlife, are all things that both ranchers and conservationists really feel passionate about. And that's why we were able to collaborate together on a project like this.
So as I mentioned, a lot of the grasslands in the prairies is already gone. How much of the grassland is left now?
Estimates vary because it is really hard to measure. You know, we have what's called a plow print report that looks at how much grasslands have been converted to other uses. But some of the latest statistics say that 24% is remaining in Canada from the vast expanses that existed, you know, hundreds of years ago. Most of what remains is privately owned. And so it's in the hands of individual ranching families and farming families. And only a very small percentage of that is actually protected, you know, as a national park or under a conservation agreement. And so it's really at quite a risk of being converted, whether that's for residential purposes, whether that's for growing crops. And the sad part is that once native grasslands are broken up, they never really come back to the same state. And it could be really surprising to a majority of listeners that, you know, the temperate native grasslands are considered one of the most endangered ecosystems in the entire world and the only endangered ecosystem in Canada.
So a lot of times that we think about this, we don't think about agriculture as being part of the preservation of any sort of ecosystem. And yet the cattle play an integral role in maintaining these grasslands. Can you tell us a little bit about why the cattle are so important to the grasslands?
Absolutely. And it's such an interesting story when we picture it as, you know, the native grasslands being like the coral reefs of Canada and, you know, really playing a star role, and that is cattle. It's a bit mind-boggling. So when we think about how these prairie ecosystems evolve, very much through the pressure of the large herds of bison that were grazing here. So estimates say between 30 to 60 million head of bison were across the prairies. And they had these grazing activities that shaped the plants and the wildlife that formed in that ecosystem. And it might be thought that the bison were just sort of aimlessly wandering the prairie, but really the First Nations people were moving them in ways to help the grass and the soil. They were the original guardians of the grasslands. Now we see with bison no longer being on the landscape, you know, at a really high level, we see cattle coming in and filling that same role of the bison. So for a grassland to be healthy, it actually needs a grazer. It needs that grazing impact by a large herbivore. Otherwise, it's just not healthy.
What happens if you don't have the cattle there? And the same thing, what happened when the bison disappeared and now the cattle are there? What happens if you don't have that large herbivore?
Yeah, so it's really interesting. On the Waldron Ranch, they have an exclusion zone, they call it. And so I believe it's an acre square that's fenced off and it has wildlife fencing. So nothing's been able to get on that section of land for the last 30 years. And when you drive by, you see this dry, wilted grass. And that's because without a grazer to come and graze the grasses down to different heights, the grasses start to smother themselves. There's no sunlight. There's not enough water getting down to the soil without hooves to trample down seeds and aerate the soil. And then, you know, really importantly, of course, is urine and manure that distributes nutrients back into the soil and helps bring that soil to a healthy state and recycle life back again. So without that, we see grasslands really going dormant. And when I mean that they need a grazing impact, grassland birds like to nest in different levels of grasses. So whether they like the short grass or a little bit higher grass, they need a herbivore to come in and graze that so that it's ready for them to put their nest in. And it's just the type of pressure that we can't see from other ungulates. So deer, elk, they just don't have the amount of pressure that the grassland needs, the amount of impact that we can get with rotational grazing.
So what exactly is Guardians of the Grasslands about then?
So Guardians of the Grasslands is a short documentary and it explores the vital role that cattle play in preserving one of the most endangered ecosystems, our native temperate grasslands. We're really hoping that it opens people's minds up to the idea that cattle could be beneficial for an ecosystem. You know, maybe not so much in producer circles, but definitely with urban media, we've seen that cattle are not good for the environment. And I think a lot of producers know that there is definitely another side of this story where not only are cattle working to the benefit of an ecosystem, but actually vital to the preservation of that ecosystem itself. So that's what we hope to do with Guardians of the Grasslands. So with our distribution plan, we submitted it to film festivals first. And this was because our target audience is those urban dwelling Canadians that don't have a lot of background in agriculture. And so the best way to reach them, we don't have a direct conduit as a producer association. And so we thought, let's submit it for film festivals and hopefully we'll reach those audiences. And we saw tremendous pickup from the film festivals. It was unfortunate for so many reasons that it was during the COVID-19 pandemic. So film festivals were happening online and not in person. So I don't think we got as much traction as we maybe would have had on a regular year. But we do know that thousands of people that otherwise wouldn't have been exposed to the film were able to watch it through it being included in these film festivals.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to watch it online. The film is quite amazing all on its own. The photography is excellent. And of course, you've got the beautiful grasslands out there and the wonderful scenery there. But the message is something that I think a lot of us never, ever considered. I've always said to people that if you consider that people will tell you that cattle are bad for our environment, cattle are bad for releasing carbon, we should just get rid of the cattle and just get rid of them completely and use the land for something else. It's a lot of land in North America that just simply wouldn't be fit for anything because much of it you can't break up and use for farmland. And even if you can, you're going to lose an ecosystem such as the one you've described and that exists there.
You know, we've done through the Canadian Roundtable for Sustainable Beef, we've done a life cycle assessment of the Canadian beef industry. And it's found that 35 million acres of native grasslands are in the care of beef farmers and ranchers, you know, largely families ranching together. And so that is the majority of native grasslands left. And we know that if they're left in the hands of beef farmers and ranchers, it likely means that they weren't ideal to convert to crops anyway at this point, because land is going to go to its highest value, crops being much more economical at this time to raise than beef cattle. So we really have to work to preserve what's left. And that's not to say that, you know, there shouldn't be crop development in places where it makes sense. There absolutely should be, just shouldn't be on native grasslands. That's something that we're really trying to draw attention to. And as much as we think the average Canadian doesn't know about native grasslands being endangered, you know, ourselves as producers, Ben Wilson and Sarah Ray, our Story Brokers Media House, the ones who shot and directed the film. Sarah is a multi-generational farmer, rancher herself, and she had no idea. So this is such an important story to tell, both for our producer stakeholder audiences and, you know, for the average Canadian that needs to see this benefit being provided, you know, really by the food they eat.
When I first watched it there, I had no idea and had never really considered the implications of removing the herbivore from that grassland and what happened to the rest of it. But it's a really good example of being part of the environment as opposed to just coming in and using the environment. The cattle are part of that ecosystem.
That's something that we see a lot of confusion when we're talking to someone who isn't involved in agriculture, didn't come from an agriculture background, is that they don't understand that the cattle are part of the ecosystem, that they are sharing the landscape with the plants and the animals that live there. If you go into a pasture with cattle grazing, you will see grassland birds, you will see elk, you will see sage grouse, and they're all living together. We've seen so many examples of doing rotational grazing, you know, putting 300 head of steers in a small acre pasture to get that impact and move it along, and you'll find grassland birds' nests undisturbed in all of that grazing impact, but they're so good at being able to share with the other wildlife that call that place home.
Yeah, even if you were to say, well, we'll use it as a hay field, and we go in there and we cut hay like 2 inches or less off the ground there, that destroys the habitat for those birds and the other animals and livestock that exist there. Kills a lot of the native plants too, because they can't stand that being cut like that.
Absolutely. And we've really seen it with trying to come up with climate change solutions for Canada. One of these solutions has been to plant more trees. You know, we're going to be able to sequester more carbon with more trees. Well, that would be devastating on the native grasslands because they didn't evolve with trees. So you have birds that nest on the ground. Well, they can't handle a predator coming from above. So you would completely change this ecosystem. You know, it's evolved in this way. And I think sometimes when people see grasslands, they think that trees must have been taken off of it instead of seeing it as that is the ecosystem, right? I love Mackenzie in the film. She says it's a sea of grass. And that's so much what it feels like when you're sitting there in this huge parcel of native grassland. You hear the grasses sway and you can listen to the birds. And it's just an absolutely beautiful piece of Canada.
So assuming that we could make this into productive farmland and we got rid of the grasslands and made it into something productive, we don't think normally of what happens to the carbon. We were thinking, you know, the cattle are a problem for carbon dioxide being and greenhouse gases being released. What happens if we break that up?
We've seen it be suggested that we need to reduce our meat consumption so that we're lowering the greenhouse gas emissions of the beef industry. But really, without cattle, keeping these native grasslands intact, we could see much higher emission levels by this land getting converted. So a study by Bork at the University of Alberta found that tilling native grasslands releases 30 to 50% of the soil organic carbon. So that's a huge amount. If you think in those 35 million acres under the care of beef farmers and ranchers, there's 1.5 billion tons of carbon currently being sequestered.
That's a lot of carbon.
It's a huge amount. It's too much to even really wrap your mind around. So if you think of 30 to 50% of that being released, you know, if it's converted to another use and cattle aren't on it, grazing it, that really would keep Canada from reaching its climate goals. So it's quite counterintuitive for most people that actually keeping cattle on grasslands is keeping carbon in the ground and lowering Canada's emissions.
Do you like what you're hearing from the Back 40? We'd like to hear from you. Send us an email with your comments and thoughts to theback40@trilliummutual.com or follow us on social media at Trillium Mutual. How fast is this native grassland disappearing? Have we reached a point where it's more or less stable, or are we still losing it?
You know, it depends on market forces and what the prices are for various grains and cereal crops. Sometimes then we'll start to see the rates of conversion go up. But Christine Tapley, who's with Ducks Unlimited Canada, has a statistic that says 4 football fields are converted every minute in the Great Plains grasslands. So it's still rapidly occurring. So by no means has it been stopped. And we're starting now to see more initiatives, more money being put forward, really highlighting how we need to keep grasslands intact.
One of the stats that we heard earlier was that Toronto paves under 100 acres a day. It's expansion. I'm going to have to do some math here and see how that compares just to see where we are with that. But 4 football fields a minute is a lot. Whether we're talking Canadian or American football fields, that's still a lot of area that's disappearing.
It is. And it's just to think of that, you know, how rapidly that's happening. And not to demonize the people that are converting the native grasslands. They're trying to make a living for their families and they're trying to grow food for Canadians and to export. But we need to have regulations in place that make it more economical to keep them as native grasslands and grow crops where that makes sense as well.
Yeah, we have a lot of area in the prairies that's already been broken up. To keep this as native grassland is something that is of high importance, especially when you consider the climatic implications that if we do break that up. So how successful have you been with the film? How many people have seen this?
As I said, we came out with this distribution plan early on that we were going to submit it to film festivals. And that was so we were reaching those urban audiences, our target audiences, which also meant that we couldn't publicly release the film until your film festival season has ended, because they don't want the film just freely available on YouTube. Then they're not going to be able to sell tickets to their festival.
Absolutely.
So through this film festival run, we did have on the webpage a request to book a screening as well. And so throughout the first year and a half where we did the film festivals and the individual requests, we had about 30,000 views of the film. So we were really excited about that number, especially since it was the target audience that we wanted to see the film. So most of the film festivals were in Ontario. There was some in BC, like Vancouver. So we're talking about big markets. It was screened on Yonge Street in Toronto. So that was really exciting for us. And then we launched the film publicly on May 4th, 2021. And since then, the film has been viewed over 100,000 times. So we are thinking about a goal we'd like to reach by the end of the year. You know, I would love to see it be at probably 250,000 views would be great. So we need as much help as possible with people sharing the film, telling their friends and family, and just getting it out there.
Obviously, it's been a great response to get people to watch the film. And if anyone hasn't, we'll give you some details on how you can do that. For me, it's must-see. You really should watch this film. It's terrific. What has the response been like from people, other than we've seen a lot of views of that film? What has been the main response that you've gotten from that audience?
I'll talk to 2 different responses that we get. And the first was a producer response. When I first showed the film to a couple colleagues at CCA, a couple producers I know well, what we heard back, they said, I love the film, but I wish it didn't get so emotional in the end. You lose me a bit with the emotion. And we thought, okay, that's fine. Really, the intended audience is not producers, right? It is this urban market, and it's even more specific. It's millennials under 40, skewing female. And so when we tested the film with those target audiences, they loved it. And you say, what did you like most about it? They went, oh, at the end, she gets so heartfelt. She gets so passionate about it. You know, it made me cry and it really resonated with me. So, you know, that's what you have to keep your audience in mind. Who are you trying to create this for? You know, is it producers or is it this outside audience that, you know, you can't just present the facts. You have to tell the story. The why has to be there. You know, Mackenzie, Ducks Unlimited Canada at the end, and she brings that passion that she feels for grasslands and her hope that we can keep what's left intact. People remember that portion of the film. And the next time they see cattle grazing in a field, the next time they go to purchase beef at the grocery store, that's what they remember. And so now it's been so interesting when I hear other producers talking about the film, you know, and somebody will say, I wish it didn't get so emotional. I'll hear them do the rebuttal that they say, well, you know, that's really important. We've got to tell a story and we've got to show emotion in it. And I hope it really speaks to a new direction of agriculture communications, that we can't be afraid to get to the heart of the story. People want to know the why, and we've got to be able to go there.
We as farmers and parts of the farm community, we rely on science. We look at the facts, give me the facts and figures. And that's what we evaluate our decisions on. And sometimes we forget that the reason farmers do this is because of their love of the land, their love of the livestock, their love of the lifestyle. And if we don't do something that pulls that in so that everybody else can see that, just given facts and figures, it is not going to reach these people. You've got to have something that reaches the heart.
And then it reminds people that are maybe thinking, oh, you know, maybe I should reduce my meat consumption because of the environment. They forget that there's people behind this industry. You know, at the end of the day, it's 98% family farms. And so they need to see the people, the families who raise beef cattle, who are saying, I care too. You know, I have children. They're going to inherit this land. They're going to be the future Canadians. I care just as much as you do. And so really highlighting the people behind the industry and their stories and demonstrating that passion and that love for the land, that we are not here to exploit the resources. If anything, farmers and ranchers depend on the land more than anybody. And so it is crucial to their interests and passing something along to their families to take really good care of it. And I hope they see that when watching the film too.
Absolutely. The whole idea behind farming is that we want to make a living at it. We want to be successful. We want to make a good living at it. But I have to say, I've never met anybody that thought that farming was an easy way to make your fortune. There's a lot of work there and a lot of risk. And yet everybody wants that to be passed on to the next generation. They want to see their kids get involved with this as well. That's a big part of this. It's the passion that those farmers have for agriculture and for the land.
Yeah, you bet. Like when you look at the Waldron as an example, it has been a co-op since, it's been a ranch itself for over 130 years, you know, and so there's also this pressure then to keep it intact for the next generations, right? That we owe this to our children, but we owe it to the people that came before us to continue to take care of that land and pass it forward. It's just so integral, I would say, to who farmers and ranchers are.
I've said this before, we don't purchase the land from our parents, we borrow it from our children. And if we think of it in that respect, we'll do a much better job of preserving it for the future generations. What's on the horizon for the Canadian cattlemen's and the film producers? Any other new projects coming along?
Yeah, so, you know, we have done some consumer research and we do allow research and science to guide us. And it says that this target market that we're going after, these female millennials that, you know, are turning away from beef consumption more than any other segment of Canadians, they're looking for information in video format. They like documentaries, but they're looking for third-party information. So after the success of Guardians of the Grasslands, we have so many other stories to tell about the benefits of beef cattle to the environment in Canada. And I call Guardians of the Grasslands the gateway drug. you know, that you can look at cow-calf pairs grazing on native grasslands, and it's pretty hard to be against that. You know, we've shown the film to, there's been staunch vegans in the crowd, and they say, I get it. I can see how this is beneficial to the environment. So now we've got to move on to some more nuanced conversations. And so following Guardians, people ask us, what are you going to do for feedlot production? And so, as I said, it's a much more nuanced conversation about the benefits of feedlots. So we have a film project coming out that's going to deal with food waste and primarily feedlot cattle, but also cow-calf in there. And it's going to, you know, look at the role that cattle play in diverting so many billions of kilograms of food waste that's either crops not fit for human consumption, you know, like we're seeing straight across the prairies right now, where you just have drought devastated crops that aren't saleable, but they can be grazed by cattle or harvested and used by cattle. And then also, when you get to the retail side of things, most of the food produced in Canada never makes it to a plate. So it's actually over 50% of all food produced. Somebody never eats that. And most of that waste comes at the retail level, because then it has to be in perfect condition for someone to buy it. So what happens to that wilted lettuce, those bruised and twisted carrots? Livestock are more than happy to take those non-saleable items and convert them really into beef. So that's one of our upcoming video projects. We're hoping to have that done in October 2021 to fit in with Food Waste Day in Canada. And then we've got a second project coming, which is also very timely, and it's looking at some grazing pilot projects in BC. And so they're using cattle to mitigate wildfire risk in what they call the interface regions, so in between Crown Land and cities, so like Cranbrook and Kelowna, trying to really protect those communities from wildfires coming in close by cattle grazing the fine fuels in the forests and not having that available to burn. So, you know, with the devastating wildfires that we're seeing in BC right now, hopefully it becomes part of the solution to managing those, you know, mega fire events that they're starting to see out there. And really, again, represents a vital role for cattle to play in, you know, how can our food also fight fire? Well, it's with cattle. It's amazing how many great stories there are out there to tell.
Absolutely. And that the story about the experimental grazing, it's a timely topic. As today, as we sit and record this, you're in Calgary, I'm in Southern Ontario. It's pretty hazy there today because of the fires, isn't it?
Yeah. And we have producers we know are impacted in BC around the Kamloops area that have their cattle on rangelands, and they're having to try to move them to areas not impacted. And it is stressful. It's emotional. You know, they're seeing their livelihoods being risked here. But what they've seen from the past is that grazing can turn a fire. It can stop a fire. So there's these amazing pictures of ranchers' homesteads, and they've grazed around there, and the fire has come right up to that grazing line and stopped and protected all of the buildings and their residences. Our hearts really are going out to those producers that are affected. It's just devastating out there. We hope that this presents a solution forward for everybody in areas of Canada that are impacted by these increasing fire events.
So you've got three film projects, one already in the can, so to speak, and two more on the way there. What does success look like for you?
That is a great question, Mike. And I think it changes, you know, year to year. But for us, when we see unexpected advocates coming out for beef cattle and grazing, that really feels like success to me. So I have seen people personally at screenings of Guardians of the Grasslands. I've seen feedback videos online, and it's when it's somebody you wouldn't expect, somebody who lives in downtown Toronto with no experience of agriculture, you know, probably couldn't pick a cow out from a horse or a goat in the field. And when they tell me that this has really changed their opinion of beef farming and ranching, that is success. And I hope that they tell people that they know and share the message of the film. And, you know, if we're reaching those people that maybe thought otherwise about beef cattle and now feel positive towards them and the industry and farmers and ranchers, that's 100% I would define as success.
It's obvious as we sit here and speak, you can hear the passion from you about this project. What is it that drives you personally on this?
I didn't come from a beef cattle background. I was originally from the Maritimes, but I've lived in Calgary most of my adult life and lived in the city. But my grandfather had a small hobby farm. And so I'd spend summers out there with him and I would learn how to feed. He had like four Herefords, and I'd learn how to feed them. And I took care of his turkeys and chickens. And it just instilled in me such a love for raising animals. And the people that you meet that farm and ranch, there's just no better people out there in the world. They are caring. They are kind people. They love their livestock. And I knew when I was starting out and getting a career that I really wanted to get up in the morning and be happy and passionate about what I'm working on and who I'm doing it for. For me, farmers and ranchers and the animals, the livestock, they really give me that why. That's why I'm excited every morning to get up and tell their stories and hope to be successful in all the projects that we do.
The film is Guardians of the Grasslands, and we've been speaking with Amy Peck. Amy is one of the producers of the film, and she also works for the Canadian Cattlemen's Association. Amy, if somebody wants to see this film or if somebody wants to get more information about upcoming projects, how do they do that?
There's a couple different ways. Best way is the website. So that's www.guardiansofthegrasslands.com. The full documentary is loaded right there on the homepage for you to watch. And that will also have upcoming events and special behind the scenes footage up there. And then if you'd like to get in touch with the team, you can just send an email, and that's guardiansofthegrasslands@gmail.com.
That's awesome. I highly recommend it. I watched this film and it's less than 20 minutes and it is a fantastic film. It is so engaging and draws you in so well about the issues surrounding the grasslands in Western Canada. Next time on the Back 40, we'll be talking about the importance of a written farm transition plan. Our guest will be Maggie Van Camp. Join us as she tells her personal story of farm transition after the tragic loss of her husband in a farm accident. Amy, thank you very much for taking time to be with us on the Back 40.
Thank you so much, Mike. I had a great time.
You've been listening to the Back 40, brought to you by Trillium Mutual Insurance. Be sure to subscribe to The Back 40 wherever you find your favorite podcasts so that you don't miss an episode. The Back 40, bringing the ag community together one podcast at a time. I'm Mike Brine. Until next time, take care and stay safe.